from time to time, if not quite often, preacher struggles for hours at a time, not knowing what to preach about. And a passage can appear before him for hours at a time and just get nowhere. I found that case, that was the case even with our text that we looked at this morning in 1 Peter 4. I was wrestling as to what I should speak about this evening, and I believe wholeheartedly that God has brought this message for this evening especially. We turn to Acts chapter 4. And we begin in the first verse. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. As they spoke to the people. This is talking of specifically of the apostles, but particularly Peter and John, who are named. Being greatly disturbed, that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees that we read of from time to time in the Gospels differ from that strict sect of Judaism who were of the Pharisees. In this matter, they believed that there was no resurrection. There's nothing new under the sun. These are the liberals of their day. Worthless bags of wind that exist. I say that deliberately. Worthless bags of wind that exist within mainline denominations who waffle, denying with all manner of intellectual reasoning that the Lord Jesus never rose from the dead. And it is amazing how this disturbed them, that the apostles preached in Jesus a message of hope. A message of hope. How indeed is man so stubborn in his sin? The message of Jesus and the resurrection is most definitely and first and foremost an affront to religious people. Before even the people outside. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. The word of God is never chained. The effectual word of God. The people went, we read in the book of Acts, they went everywhere proclaiming the resurrection of Christ. And guess what? Many believed. Because it's the message that Jesus said, which he was sent to proclaim, that sets the captives free. Free from the captivity of being in the chains of bondage and fear of death all their life. However, many of those who heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Now, to see the context of what they're talking about, we look in chapter 3. We read that when you go home. We have this amazing miracle where they healed a lame man. They commanded him in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that man went leaping and praising the Saviour. Not only did they not want the message of hope proclaimed, they did not think that this great miracle performed on this man to give him legs to walk now was a good thing. They would have preferred this man to have remained lame. Such was their religious ignorance and pride. By what name, by what power have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, that is the only way the preaching of the Word of God can have an effect, is when the Holy Spirit comes upon the man to proclaim that word. That's the desire of all who preach the Word of God, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit to proclaim God's word so as to have such an effect upon the hearers. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Oh, what boldness. Whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone, this Lord Jesus. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone, the most important one. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. What words these are. There is only one name worth knowing. There's only one name you need to know. For what is in a name? What is in a name? There is so much in this name. This name, Jesus. And I say again. I'll say again until I have to never say it again. This name is to never be used for anything but praise. And the next time, I'm going to have to be held to this now, aren't I? The next time I hear a believer saying, oh Jesus, I must pick them up. Because if it hurts me enough to hear the unbelieving world use this name so badly, it's much worse. It hurts much worse than for the professed church to use this name so. This is the altogether wonderful name. This is the all-powerful name. This is the only name of salvation. This is the only name unto whom we must bow. Oh, what a name! What a name! For the angel visiting Joseph, telling him who of him who was to be born of Mary, said these words that you know so well: you shall call his name Jesus. And then he says why it's imperative he was to be called by this name. Not Joseph, not Jacob, not David. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Because this name is Saviour. The angel gives the command to name him such, with the explaining of his name meaning plainly, God saves. He is God the Saviour. The Lord is salvation. That's his name. Tell me, can we use his name for anything else but praise? In fact, throughout the scriptures, we are told that there is no salvation but in God himself. In this God. This God who has revealed himself in this book. Not the gods of this world. Not the gods of the philosophies of this world. Not the other so-called holy books of this world. God will not share his glory with another. He is the only God. And in him alone is salvation. Jehovah, the Lord. You won't find Jehovah the Lord in the other books. You'll find a pretended Jesus, but not the real Jesus. You'll find a subjugated Jesus, but not the real Lord Jesus. Jehovah, the Lord. Jonah the prophet is taught this after he sought to run from God. And he was taught to declare this truth. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus. And so what does this name Jesus teach us? What does this name Jesus teach us tonight? Well, let's look at the context of this verse. Earlier we see in chapter 3 of Acts, a lame man was healed in the name of Jesus. And the apostles are answering the unbelieving Jews who condemned not only this man who was healed, but they condemned them. They condemned this man who cried out, "Praise to God." How about that? The religious condemned this man from praising God. Could it be because they knew not the God whom he praised? Even as the Lord Jesus said to that woman at the well, "You worship whom you know not." They don't know God. They're just pretending. They're just playing at religion, as people play at church today. But this man knew not much, but he knew He knew to praise this God and Saviour. And so for this, he was condemned. And the apostles were condemned for indeed invoking the name of the Lord Jesus unto the healing of this man. These are the same people, as we read, who cried out for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, who rejected the Saviour. And now they continue to reject the Saviour. They continue to reject his message. And here particularly Peter the Apostle speaks up with great boldness now. Great boldness. Here is a man that God works through. A man who cowered in a corner by the fireside, denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. Now he is bold to proclaim, not knowing what the cost will be, but prepared to count it, proclaiming with boldness the whole gospel. Even the message that condemns sin. For he says quite clearly indeed, this Jesus that you have crucified. And as with every miracle, as with every miracle performed by the Lord Jesus, here, even with the apostles, as the Lord sent them to ratify their being sent of him, to indeed prove that the word that they would proclaim is indeed sent by the Lord Jesus, the signs following. God's word shows us the greater meaning. You see, the message is not about the lame man walking. That's not the primary message. The lame man was made whole physically, yes. But it speaks in a greater sense of salvation. But you need to be made spiritually whole. Spiritually whole. As we hear of this man was made whole by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. To receive salvation, you must be made whole spiritually. You must be born again, Jesus says. And so as we look at this great declaration of the gospel, here is salvation. Here is not an opportunity of salvation. Here is not a way of salvation. Here is salvation. Here alone. So much so that the writer to the Hebrews says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There is no other. Firstly, see this. Christ is the only God. He is the only God. He is the only God and therefore the only Saviour. The apostle addresses these religious people as indeed the Spirit of God to you today challenges as to where is your hope for eternal life in heaven. If your hope is in Christ, your hope is steadfast and sure. You're built upon the rock who is Christ. You cannot be moved. Sure, this verse is a statement of fact and hope for salvation. But it should challenge as to what and who do you place your trust. And it indeed should challenge the believer who has trusted Christ unto salvation, do we trust this one name for all things, unto everything? Are we going on into discipleship in Christ, following him? There's no turning back. These people rejected Christ. They rejected Christ, and see what was told them in verse 11. This is the stone. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You're responsible. There is this controversy, you see, amongst us who believe in sovereign grace. Some do not believe there is a responsibility with man. Well, let them believe that. But the Word of God teaches it. Man is responsible before God. Man is responsible before God, before his Creator. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, if people don't like that, they must take that up with God. Shall the piece of clay say to the one who made it, why have you made me thus? The word proclaimed to these men and to you is this: if you be not building all your hopes for salvation upon Christ Jesus and his finished work, his redeeming work on the cross, to be setting you free from sin and condemnation, then whatever you think you believe in, whatever you imagine to believe in, be it religion, church attendance, non-church attendance, hoping in angels or saints, so-called, you are, as a man or woman, foolishly building, as Jesus says, a house upon sinking sand. Yet you who know the Lord Jesus Christ know the opposite is the case. You are firmly upon the rock who is Christ. You cannot be moved. The opposite is the case. You have been saved. He lifted you out of the quicksand, as we read in Psalm 40. He lifted you out of the miry clay, and he set your feet upon the rock who is Christ. And he's made your footsteps firm and certain and sure, and you can never be moved. Only by trusting Christ Jesus the Lord, only by trusting Christ Jesus the Lord, is there certainty of salvation. That's what the apostle means here. No one and nothing else, no one and nothing else is trustworthy unto salvation. No one. No one. For only he is the Saviour. He, this Jesus, is the same Lord who said the words through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. This one Saviour, this one name given under heaven among men, by which you must be saved. There really is no other Saviour. No one else. There is no one else. To believe in anything else is to be as the blind man groping around in a dark room for something that is just not there. And that's why the Saviour God, this Jesus, repeats this again and again, again and again in his word. Isaiah 45, 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time. Who have told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Saviour, and there is none beside me. None. There is no other Saviour. There is no other God. Second, there are a certain people who must be saved. There are a certain people who must be saved. This is the message of the gospel, once again, which is hidden by so many. To their peril, they must answer to God, give an account to God. I'm fearful enough to give an account to God, which I must, so I will never hide such things at my peril. There are a certain people who must be saved. And indeed, the text tells us here, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Must be saved. Now, when God says something must be, God Almighty means it is something that always comes to pass. Otherwise, he's not God. If something must be, that means it is so. And this statement tells us that salvation in Christ Jesus is definite. It's imperative. It must come to pass and is personal to a particular people. It's clearly here, as clear as the nose be on your face. It clearly is told us here. For the Lord Jesus is not only the only Saviour God. He is given to the special people of God, called in Holy Scripture elect, chosen in him from the foundation of the world. And as we said earlier, we see that the name Jesus means clearly, he will save who? Who will we save? Or rather, he might save, or he hopes to save. He's declared forth that some might be saved. No. We're told quite clearly, he will save his people from their sins. This name given among men is the name of the one Saviour, the name Almighty to save. God saves. And if this one be God, he does not fail, cannot fail. He must save, and you, if he came to redeem you from your sin, must be saved. There is no question about it. His name tells us he is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This name Jesus, meaning God saves, given among men, whereby we must be saved, tells us that the Lord Jesus said what he said about his coming to seek and to save a particular group of people. To save by his sacrificial death on the cross. For he said in John 6, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." You remember the Lord Jesus says of the will of God, "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." Oh, I hope God's will is done. Is that what that prayer means? Oh, God, please make your will be done. Because there's things that are going to stop. There's things in the way of your will, Lord God. Is that what it means? The Lord Jesus says, with great authority, "Thy will be done as it is in heaven." Who can withstand the will of God? Who can say unto him, "What doest thou?" Not one. "I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Just a few failed to believe. Just one or two didn't choose to follow Jesus and they missed out. No. Because this is all of grace and all of God's almighty power to save. He says, "This is the will of God which is done in heaven, which will therefore be done on earth. That of all which he has given me already, I should lose nothing." Nothing. Not one single one for whom Christ came to give himself a ransom on the cross. Not one on that final day will be found missing from the kingdom of God. Each one for whom he has gone to prepare a place in the glory, each one of those will be present. Not one will be missing. "I should lose nothing," he says, "but raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." If you have seen Jesus by faith in your heart, if you have seen who he really is by faith, if you truly have looked upon him by faith, seeking forgiveness of your sins, you have this assurance. You have passed from life unto death. Sorry, from death unto life. You have everlasting life already. "And I will raise him up at the last day. And so by this name, Jesus, all that must be saved will be saved." So are you one of those? Are you one of those who must be saved? Who God says, I must meet with you. Even as he said to Zacchaeus, "I must come to your house now. You must be saved." Does he say that to you? How do you know if you are among those? How do you know if you are among those who the Saviour shed his blood to save? People say, "Well, don't proclaim this message that God has a chosen people. You'll confuse the people." Far from it. Far from it. If you know yourself to be so loved of God, you will be drawn irresistibly by that grace. That love from God will overpower you to know yourself so loved. So how do you know that you're among those who Christ shed his precious blood to save? Well, we see it from the next point. For thirdly, we see that those who hear this name, truly, have this gift given from God. You see, many people hear the name Jesus. As I said, it's a swear word to most. It's blasphemy. It's just another word. It means nothing. It's a worthless name to the majority of people in the world. But those who truly hear this name for who he is, this is a gift given from God. You can't stir this up within you. And if you be found amongst those who have truly heard who Jesus is and have been drawn to him, it's because God enabled you to do so. To believe on this Jesus and be saved, what a privilege it is. Don't take it lightly, and do not be so proud as to set yourself up above others. We rejoice, we glory in this one thing. We glory in nothing, saving Christ Jesus the Lord. Where does faith in Jesus come from? We saw those words in our final hymn this morning. I know not how the Spirit works, convincing men of sin, creating faith in them. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's the work of God. It's the invisible working of God. No one is born believing. You talk to some people and they're so foolish in the things they say, and they say, I've just always been a believer. Well, they must be the only one. Because God says there is none who seeks after God. No, not one. God looked down upon the sons of men to find if there'd be one who seeks after him. Not one, not one. And so those who say, I've always believed, I was just always a believer, they are liars of the highest order. And worse still, they are deceived above all things. Deluded. Faith is nothing to do of your natural self. Faith is nothing to do of the flesh. Faith is nothing that we can do. We're all dead in sin. We died in Adam, our forefather. We all were made sinners in him. No one is born believing. God's word says there is none who seeks after God. There's none. There is none who does what is right. And what is it that God seeks? What is it that pleases God? How is it that we please God? It's believing. That's what God's word says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's none who does what's right. There's none who believes. You will never really believe. No one would really believe. You who know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it so now. You would never have believed had there not been an intervention. A miraculous one by God. You will never really believe on this Saviour unless something changed within. And what makes this change? Well, of course, I do not know how this change takes place It's so marvelous. It's so wonderful. It's so gracious. It's so almighty. But we do know what we're told. The power of God coming to you. The power of God coming to you by the name of the Lord Jesus to make you alive, to wake you up from the deadness of your sin. Why did this man, lame he was, why did he get up and walk? This was impossible. It's utter foolishness to this man to get up and walk. But the name of Jesus was so powerful to him that it caused him to do that which God commanded him to do. It created faith in him. And so this change must come by God's power, moving within the one who is made alive in Christ Jesus. And if God come to your heart and reveal Jesus in you by the word preached, he will give you faith. That which he commands, believe on my son, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. He gives that which he commands to his people to receive the gift of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not just the written word of God, but this Lord Jesus who's called the word, the essential word, this name, the person and name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you must know. And if you truly are brought to believe in this Jesus, it is because you must be saved. For this gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. When you look at such wonderful statements here, this one name given under heaven among men by whereby we must be saved. And as you meditate on it and consider it as we are just now, you think to yourself, I'm not worthy to even utter that name. That name. But that name that's been gifted to you, his people, he tells you to indeed call upon that name continually. To look unto this Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Have you been brought to know this Saviour? For there is no hope. No hope for salvation and forgiveness of sin. None without this Jesus. Have you known that moment of calling on this saving name of the Lord Jesus? If you know this Jesus, you are made whole, accepted with God. Sure, the world outside will look on with disdain and condemn you and call you all manner of things because you believe that this Jesus who made you whole is the only Saviour, and you will not flinch from that. But you know yourself accepted with God. Who would you prefer to be accepted with? If God allow you to believe on this Jesus, the one true Saviour God, call on him. Call on him now. There is no other Saviour. There is no other name. You who know not the Saviour, call on this name. You who have known the call of God's grace, do not cease. Do not cease from calling upon this name. Do not cease from praising this name. Live to the glory of this name, this Lord Jesus.